Welcome to the Ames Heartbeat Podcast, a monthly brief interview with social services, civic, education, and business leaders about life in Ames and Story County. This podcast is produced and presented by the Serve Ministries of Christ Community Church, committed to the pursuit of common good while sharing the uncommon news of the gospel in and from Central Iowa, right here where God has placed us, because loving Ames means knowing Ames.
Hello and welcome. I'm Wayne Stewart, Serve Pastor at Christ Community Church in Ames, Iowa, and your podcast host. Our guest today is Pa Vang Goldbeck, Assistant City Manager for the City of Ames since 2023. With over 15 years of experience in local government, she has and continues to manage a variety of special projects, emphasizing the importance of sustainability, community engagement, open procurement, and customer service. Pa's passionate about public service and leading from a place of curiosity. She has a master's degree in public administration from Metropolitan State University. Well, Pa, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Yeah.
It's fun to have you in here. I love having representatives and leaders from all the different sort of strata and places in our community. And we actually haven't had anybody from city government yet. So you're the first one in.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for letting it be me.
Yeah. Awesome. So we're, again, trying to put ourselves in a posture of listening as a church with this podcast, because obviously we know we don't know everything that's going on in the community. And in order to be an effective sort of community member and people who are showing love in all the ways that we can, we kind of want to know what's going on. So this is a great chance to get a sense from you, some of the things that might be going well in our community, some of the things that might be challenges, a couple of things that there might be some collaboration on, and any other things that might come up in the conversation.
Yeah, I'd be happy to share my perspective.
Awesome. So let's start with question number one then, and that is from your position of leadership in our community, what are some things that you think are going well?
I think there's a lot of things that goes well in Ames. I think that Ames has this unique vibrancy to it. Part of that is because ISU is here, and so half of the population are students. And ISU welcomes about 5,000 to 6,000 freshmen every year. So we have a slightly transient group here, but a very strong and stable community group as well. And so I think that's unique. You know, not a lot of cities our size have that sort of makeup. Yeah. And so I think it brings a vibrancy that is that people adore.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a sense of kind of exploration and maybe a different sort of availability and access to arts opportunities, obviously learning. It feels like the conversation changes in a university town a little bit. And if we took away the university, we'd be kind of a smaller town in the middle of Iowa,
yeah.
Right? Which would be awesome too. Yeah. But it brings a lot of great things, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I think we also have a pretty unique downtown. It's quaint, it's lovely. There's lots of local places, unique shops that people can spend time at. And so, you know, we've got the downtown market as well that draws in a lot of people in the summer. And so just a lot of opportunities, lots of events that happen as well. And so I feel like I've never spent any weekend wondering, what should I do in Ames this weekend? I feel like there's always something going on.
Yeah, that's great. I do see, too, that a town of our size with this kind of activity feels maybe a little bit out of the norm,
mm-hmm.
right? And
yeah.
So it feels like some people are really doing some great work to kind of keep the town growing and alive and, like you said, vibrant, I think is a great word.
Yeah, and every time when I was thinking about moving to Ames, every time I would talk about Ames, it was always positive things. People loved Ames. People want to be in Ames, and I can totally see why now. It's just a lovely place to be, a great place to raise a family and to build community, really.
Yeah, the church I was at in Chicago, we had a gal on staff there who was one of the counselors, and found out that we were moving to Ames. She graduated from ISU, and she said, I've always asked my husband if we can go back, and they just haven't been able to at that point. So I think there's a lot of that you hear.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I also just say, we spend, my family and I spend a lot of time at parks. We have little ones, and so that's the best form of entertainment. And Ames does such a great job maintaining its park, but also providing such a variety of options. And so we can kind of hop around and get a different experience too. And so our family loves that. So
yeah, great. Okay, so then on the flip side, what maybe are some things that you notice or are concerned about and think, hey, we need to give some attention to some of these things. There's some challenges in our community.
Yeah, I think being a college town plays into some of this in the market, but like cities our size, affordable housing can be really challenging, and I think that's a real issue that we continue to run into at the city. You know, the cost of living keeps going up, and wages haven't kept up, and it's difficult to afford a place to live at times. Also, with our large student population, a lot of time people are renting by rooms, and so it's really not family-oriented, and so that can be a big challenge. And then, because we have such a large rental population as well, they run on a yearly cycle. So it's if you ever try to look for a housing unit in January or August or something, or not August, but January in the off months, like it's very hard to find something.
Yeah, so some capacity issues there.
Yeah.
But also the type of housing potentially for maybe some underserved segments of our community. One of the things that I had the joy and I guess the learning experience and opportunity to sit in on was the homelessness exploration committee and recommendations that you helped run. So it's probably some of what you've been walking through the last little while with this as well.
Yeah. So last summer we saw a large peak in the number of people who were visibly homeless out in their downtown area and other areas as well, which was new for this community. That hadn't been the case before. The city and other partners, the Mary Greeley team, the ARCH team, the Salvation Army have come together to really try and coordinate our outreach efforts and to provide services to folks who are unsheltered. And so that has been, it has really been amazing to see that effort grow, and it's going to continue to get stronger. And the city council was generous in giving them a pilot flex fund to be able to spend, and that funding has been used to just meet people's needs based off of what they're expressing they need help with. And so that has always been sort of a challenge, is that, you know, when you work in local government or you work for a specific agency, sometimes your dollars are restricted, or, you know, there's more, you know, it's not quite as flexible as it would be if a private person purchased something. And so, you know, that was a challenge. But this pilot flex fund has allowed the group to be able to really build trust with individuals experiencing homelessness. And now that the community knows, the community's looking for them. They know where to find them during the outreach weeks. And so that's been really exciting to see.
Yeah, the collaboration of, you know, the city's leadership and then bringing in some outside expertise and moving through the listening sessions and conversation and getting to some recommendations and the beginnings of a plan and a team that would move that forward really feels like significant steps. What's going on with that right now for you?
Yeah, so it was interesting going back to those sessions because, you know, when we were sort of grappling with what are we going to do, how are we going to help find shelter for these folks, we had just booked the room at the library and sent an email to everybody who we thought worked in the field and said, if you're interested in coming, please come. I didn't know if there would be 2 people there or 10 people there. We had over 50 people at each of those meetings. So that was pretty incredible to see. And I think that speaks a lot to the Ames culture here too, where I think people do want to help and they do want to give ideas and suggestions about how we can come together to solve this issue. So that has... because the report did come out, the set of recommendations came out in about April to May there, a group of us, the asset team, we like to call us the asset funders group, so that's the city, Story County, United Way, and ISU student government. We've been meeting behind the scenes to really identify priority steps from that action plan. So we're excited about that. We feel like bits of it are moving. And so I know I'll be going back to the city council pretty soon to give an update on what progress has happened. So.
Yeah. Great. Good. So probably a bit of a challenge too, though. I mean, it was a good thing that 50 people showed up.
Yeah.
But then it's a different conversation and it's a different sort of steps of leadership and moving all those different interests and voices forward. How was that?
Yeah, it was really helpful because I know that I don't feel like I have the answer for how to solve this issue. So it was very valuable to bring so many people together to hear the different perspectives, to hear the different ideas, and to really see where the same ideas were coming up, because clearly that's where we should be investing in and moving on. And so the Pilot Flex Fund was one of those ideas. Another idea that has really come up is like just having people available to help others fill out applications, whether that's for housing or IDs or whatever it might be. And so we're working through that as well. Really tangible, what seems like small but significant ways that we can be serving each other. So,
yeah, that's great. One of the consistent pieces that's come out in these conversations has been the growing awareness and willingness to step into even what may seem like small steps, but can be the actual barriers that keep people from falling off the edge, mm-hmm. right? And falling through the cracks into either, you know, housing insecurity and challenges there or whatever else it might be. There's a multiplicity of factors in everyone's life.
Yeah.
And any one of those can actually shift the balance. And the conversations that I've had have just kind of reinforce that for me, that people are becoming more aware of that, I think, and stepping into the hard places. So that's great.
Yeah, and one thing that we're working on right now, too, is just raising more awareness about this issue and really debunking some of the stereotypes that may come with folks who are unsheltered. And so I think even our team were surprised at the folks that they were encountering and their stories. And I think it's really important to remember that these are folks who have fallen on hard times, you know, for one reason or another. And we all fall on hard times, right? Yeah. And so I think there's that level of empathy that I think is necessary in the community and is missing sometimes. It's easier to say, oh, it's, you know, it's their fault or they didn't do this or X, Y, or Z, but really any one of us could fall into hard times. And so getting people to kind of understand that as well.
Yeah, and it seems like the relational ties that oftentimes are what we rely on, the circles that we have are not present sometimes in people's lives who are experiencing some of these challenges too. And so they can feel very alone. Mm-hmm. And even if a professional of some sort is engaging in their lives, the broader set of healthier relationships is a big piece that maybe we take for granted doesn't exist in a lot of people's lives at times. So,
yeah.
So let me ask this next question then by maybe setting up the question for you, but you don't have to answer this one. You can choose whichever one you want. We love asking, is there something that you'd love for the church to know that you think we might not? And so I'm going to set it up by saying, hey, you could answer the question of the sort of maybe misunderstandings around what a person who's, especially let's just use the example of housing insecurity, is experiencing that, what that might look like. Are there stereotypes that we might carry that need to be addressed?
Yeah, so what I would say is that what you might see is the visible homeless issue, but there are a lot of folks who are facing housing insecurity that you may not see or hear about, right? People don't always want to identify themselves if they're in a vulnerable situation. Right. They might be staying at a family member's house. You might be sleeping on someone's couch. In that piece, the community can't easily seen, but that doesn't mean it's not there. I think one of the surprising things the host team encountered was they thought they had a good handle of like who might be unsheltered, and then they got connected with other service providers and realized like we're barely even reaching all the folks who are in a vulnerable situation right now. So I think remembering that there's a lot of invisible, unsheltered folks or housing insecure folks is important to keep in mind. But really, I think that it's important for everyone in the community to get involved and to not see it as somebody else's problem to solve, but really change the narrative and say, how can I help in my role in the community, in the world? What are the things that I can do to help? Is it being empathetic when I, you know, to situations? Is it donating to organizations? Is it spending a Saturday serving somewhere? I think there's little things that everybody can be doing to help solve the problem, because it's really overwhelming, right? No one person, no one organization can solve this issue. And so really want to change that narrative to say, well, let's focus on me today. What can I individually give to help address this issue?
Yeah, I think that's really helpful, specifically to me, in the sense that I think sometimes we see the big problems, and not just locally, but we see big problems regionally, globally, right? Mm-hmm. And because of our exposure to those things now and the information that we get about them, we can tend to carry the weight, or we presume the weight of all of that, as opposed to what is it that I can do right where I'm at that can really make a difference? And I tend to think of that as a greater investment, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that we're going to be saying over and over during our Local Matters campaign is our zip codes are no accident. Mm-hmm. We really believe that God has placed us where he's placed us for this time and for this moment. Mm-hmm. And so seeing it then as being God's people where he's put us, what am I supposed to do with that? Mm-hmm. Starting to ask that question, I think, can really shift us in the right direction.
Yeah.
Great. Well, last question here. Is obviously in a town like we have that is vibrant and diverse in a lot of different ways, people come at sort of issues and problems with different backgrounds, different perspectives, different presuppositions, and probably, you know, very different solutions at times to things.
Yeah.
But if there was something that you think that people of goodwill but divergent opinion could come together on, and it might be the homelessness issue since we've been talking a lot about that, but it could be something else. What do you think that would be?
Yeah, I would say it is the vulnerable population and serving that population in whatever format that people feel like they are able to serve in. I would also say that I think it's important to build connections in the community, whether that's with your neighbor or, you know, the grocery store clerk or whoever it is, you know, and I think that that piece of our culture is sort of dying away. You know, it's not as strong as it used to be. Here at the city, we used to rely a lot on neighborhood groups who, you know, in one block, they would know who all lived in that same block. I don't know that that's always the case anymore. We offer every summer a neighborhood party trailer.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is, the whole point of that is it's totally free. You can get this huge trailer that has chairs, tables, all of the stuff you would need to throw a neighborhood block party. And we make it available. We deliver it to you. We close your street off. And we really just want folks to know who's living next to them. So, you know, so that if there's a disaster or if there's anything that they need, they can call on the folks down the street. And so I really just think that that is an important just human component, you know, building relationships with other people and finding ways to do that no matter where you are.
Yeah. So call me an eternal optimist, but I am hoping that the pendulum has swung really as far as it might right now in terms of sort of the issue you're talking about, the sort of fraying of the community bonds, and would love for it to swing back some, and we'll do everything that we can to help push it. So thank you so much for being on today. Yeah. It was a very fun conversation, very informational, and I think very helpful for our congregation. So thank you for being willing to do it. Is there anything maybe besides or next steps that are coming up for you that is sort of a big project on the horizon for you that you're excited about, that's especially energizing for you right now?
Oh, there's always a lot. I find local government to be so exciting. So I'm a little nerd when it comes to that area. But I think there's always great things happening at the city. You know, one of the things that we've been working on is our sustainability initiatives. So this past spring, we made available some grant funds to really any organization within the city proper that wants to do some sort of a energy efficiency project or sustainable project. So we received Several applications for that. We're going to be opening that opportunity again in the fall here. And we also have some mini grants available for youth members who want to do a project that's sustainability related. So if you have a young one who's interested in, you know, teaching about planting or building a garden or something, we have that available as well. So I always think that those are fun projects that are going on. But we're working through some policies around biking and personal transportation devices. So you see scooters around now a lot and just the use of that. But that's coming up as well. But there's always so much exciting things going on.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your leadership in our community. Yeah. We really do appreciate it. Let me say thank you on behalf of our church to you. I'm sure that local government is equally as challenging as it can be exciting and rewarding at times. So thank you for doing all that you do. If somebody wants to find some information about particularly the things that you've been talking about today, or maybe just broadly the city, it's probably the website, right?
It is. So if you go to cityofames.org, at the very bottom of that home screen, there's a subscribe icon there, and you can sign up for newsletters on different topics that you're interested in.
Good. Well, thanks very much for being on today.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Ames Heartbeat Podcast. Check out more episodes at ccames.org/podcasts or on many of your favorite streaming services.